Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship of... I hear some crackling going on, so everybody be quiet. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. We use it probably every week, so I just want everybody to know that. Today is September 1st, 2021. You are listening to Face Us Radio on the Hidden Truth Reveal channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I'm with one of my co-hosts tonight. Actually, two of them with me so far. One of them is Robin Austin. Say hello to everybody, Robin.
Hello, everyone. So happy to be here and so happy that you can join us.
Right. And we also have Hillary is with us live. Hillary, say hello to everyone.
That would be me. And hello, everyone. And another Wednesday is here, another chance to talk about solutions to the humongous problem of probate guardianship abuse and to reach people who need us for what I always said was the worst situation in my life, the guardianship of my father. So thank you to our listeners. We really appreciate you tuning in.
Exactly. And Marcy Freeman will join us when I get her phone number up. We will bring her in. Anyway, we're going to have a full radio show tonight. We have a really great guest coming on. His name is Doug Franks, and I'm sure a lot of the advocates across the country know who he is. He had a mother, Ernestine Franks, that was put into a guardianship for over 4 years. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a bit and introduce them. Hillary, do you have anything you want to talk about just before we bring Doug in? And we can actually talk with Doug because he's been with you with the Guardianship Task Force, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Doug is a staunch advocate. We've traveled to Tallahassee, throughout the state, all trying to get justice for people who have been put into guardianship and to prevent anyone else from being put into a guardianship. So tomorrow is the Guardianship Improvement Task Force that's run by the clerks for the state of Florida. I am a task force member along with a few judges, attorneys, the head of VA, AARP, and I represent the victims, the wards. So it's a big obligation, and I take it so seriously. I will ask, and I always basically, I don't ask, I beg. I'm begging people, you do not have to be residing in Florida if you could make a public comment. If you don't feel comfortable, you know, talking, your face won't be shown, I don't believe. If you're not comfortable talking, you can send in a public comment. But we need to show that there are more than 10 victims, you know, making these comments. And if you're not from Florida, just say my mother was taking advantage in guardianship and it was, you know, worst situation, this, that. And you can mention the state and say it's very similar to Florida. And, of course, Florida victims and loved ones who are, you know, trying their best to get justice for their friends and family. You need to speak up. This is now. This is the time. We need these stories are touching these task members. They can't believe it. They've never heard of anything like this before because everyone's been saying that it's such a good thing and it's one bad apple and We need people to speak up and tell their story and their loved one's story. And I will tomorrow, I believe, I'm going to, besides what I do, I'm going to be mentioning quite often Rebecca Fairley, Linrod Douglas, and, of course, Tracy Samuel Hudson. No one wants to mention their names, but I will be mentioning those three names quite often because, of course, they've all been arrested for their crimes. And there are quite a lot more of these for-profit professional guardians that need to be arrested and held accountable for their crimes. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great that you've joined into the Guardianship Task Force. We are going to actually be bringing in Doug here in a minute, but let me first tell you about what happened to his mother and how he got involved, and then we'll have him come in and talk about that as well. Anyway, tonight our guest is Doug Franks. He is the founder of thefreeernestine.com and recently gave a speech at the first public meeting at the Florida Guardianship Task Force on 7/28/21. This was created because of the increasing spotlight the media has given to the victims and their families against guardianship conservatorship abuse. His mother, Ernestine Franks, won her freedom from a for-profit guardianship that Judge Jan Shackelford kept her in for 4 years and 3 months. She was making money for them, obviously. That's why they kept her in there. Ernestine passed away 12/16/16 after 45 days of freedom on an outing that ended with Chick-fil-A ice cream. She had a massive heart attack. She passed away in her son's arm, which is Dave, who is coming on to Doug, who's coming on to a radio show, in his arms. The last words she heard from him, "I love you and everything's going to be okay, Mom." And I remember that day and that evening when Doug came on to Facebook and said that his mom just died. I mean, I think it shocked the whole nation because she was just one of the cutest mothers I have ever seen in my life. Doug was posting a lot on Facebook and everything when his mother was in guardianship, and there was this one that just sticks out in my mind is when they were talking about it, and it was Christmas time, and they both were talking some silly things, and it was the cutest thing I ever heard, but literally the whole nation was very upset. And I think today Doug has turned into one of the big national advocates. And so we welcome him to our show. Let's bring Doug Franks on right now. Doug, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi,
good.
Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Thanks for coming on tonight. We have a lot to discuss. You've been in this a long time, and we're just as blinded, like everybody else has been, about guardianship and conservatorship abuse, how easy it is for someone to be put into a guardianship. Right now, I'm fearful because I have a sister that's in the hospital right now that I'm afraid for, you know, and I worry about certain circumstances that can happen to family members, a parent, a brother, a sister, children. It's just, you know, the children are thrown into guardianship all the time, sometimes because of a divorce, you know, between the parents. So you can actually end up in conservatorship, guardianship, many multiple ways. And we're going to be discussing them tonight on a radio show since we have, like Hillary's saying, you know, Doug is a huge advocate on what happened to his mother. So, Doug, can you kindly tell our audience and our listeners what happened to your mother and how you got involved?
Back in 2011, we were looking at changing banks, trust banks, from Synovus to Regions. And little did I know, I've learned it now, that that was something I wasn't supposed to do, and the drastic measures would be taken to keep that from happening. Measures putting my mother in a guardianship. Essentially, there's some property in Louisiana that my oldest brother wanted. Synovus helped him get this property, which was in the trust, under false pretenses of it been paid off. And people, my mom, my middle brother, and I, were all told to sign this document to release this property. And I was told by the trust manager at Synovus, Connie Cox, if I didn't sign it, the trust would come sue me and sue Marshall, my middle brother. And I thought to myself, well, wow, this was just a trust matter. Trust, you know, they're not going to lie. Obviously, this is all legit. I found out many, many years later after my mom passed, 100%, it wasn't legit, and it was a big lie. And then all the pieces of the puzzle came in, and they dropped into place. What was strange was the trust manager came to court and testified against my mom, said that Ms. Frank should be in a guardianship and Doug Frank should absolutely not be the guardian, which I thought was strange because in my mom's advanced directives and in her court testimony, she said that she wanted me to be her guardian if she had to have one. And so why would a trust manager do something like this? And now it all has been made clear. It's because his predecessor let some property squirm out of the trust that wasn't supposed to be, fraudulently. So that's kind of the true roots. My brother, oldest brother and I, we had to basically get along, show a good face so that we'd have a chance to get my mom out of guardianship. If I was fighting my brother over this property, then forget it. No, look, there's more family dysfunction. It's just not a good place for Ms. Franks to be in. So I had to just live with this until we got my mom free. And then I was told by my oldest brother, you know what I can do. Don't you ever cross me. And it's like, wow. You know, it's amazing that you talk about my mom and how sweet she was. She was incredibly sweet. And if she had to, she was a firecracker, and she didn't. My mom was way before women's lib. No man told my mom what to do. And if the laws were not in a way that she could get something done, she found a way around it. She was a go-getter. But, you know, it's amazing that, and this is just families in general, I think, they're all to have some degree of dysfunction. Some are severely, and some are just mildly, I guess, is what you could say. But this is what we deal with, and the courts love this because once they get the rivalry going between siblings or, you know, an ex-wife or, you know, there's many different scenarios that and the children where it's divorced where you can get these people using the loved ones as weapons. And that's what happens. And, again, in my mom's case, the attorneys knew once they got her in guardianship, there'd be fighting and there'd be money to be had. And they enjoy that. This is how they make the money through litigation. So the more fighting you can get done, the better. And again, the judge saw my mom once, you know, or twice actually, at the guardianship hearing. And on Wednesday, which I keep on talking about, the first day was on a Monday, the first court hearing. And then we had got back on Friday to continue the court hearing. But on Wednesday, I had gotten a examination from the doctor, a neurologist, that basically said Ms. Franks has the capacity to decide who the guardian is and understands ramifications. And that was given to Judge Jan Shackelford, and she just said, well, yeah, we already – does anyone have a issue with this? Oh, no, no, no. It's like, wow. I just said my mom was of sound mind, and she made this decision, and you just threw it out. And along with the healthcare surrogate, that was also thrown out. That's supposed to be a separate trial that you have to be found to be unfit to be someone's healthcare surrogate in the state of Florida and probably in other states too. What we don't know, and what I didn't know, is all these different nuances of what can and can't be done. And we go into this thing, we all watch Perry Mason, and if you're right, you end up winning, you know, because you got your lawyer can be not the best, but you're right, so you're going to win. And that's as far from the truth as possible. You're going to lose no matter who you have if you're not on the side of where the money's going. And that's what one attorney told me. She said, you know, Doug, the problem is you're not on the right side of where the money's going. And that was early in the guardianship, the first year we were in it. And we went through many attorneys, five probably attorneys. We had some, I won't mention some names, but one guy that was supposed to be really good in South Florida, the day of the trial, he just said, or a court hearing, he said, I can't make it. I can't represent you. Goodbye. and here's not all your money back. You know, it's like, wow. But that's not unusual. That's happened to many other people. So we talked about it before. I talked to all the different advocates. It's like, man, we got to make a guardianship for dummies and things to watch out for and all the different things that what to do if this happens, then you go, this is almost like a flow chart. But Sam Sugar, you know, one of the top guys in this whole arena as far as knowing about guardianship and being in it for a long time, he stated once you get in it, the battle is lost. You're it's over. And very few people get their loved ones out of it, you know. Most of the time they get them. You know, I have an incredible friend, Mary Bush. Her mother's out of guardianship because she died. They put her in a body bag, probably naked, threw her in a ditch, you know, a grave, and just buried her, you know, and didn't put a tombstone or anything. That she's Catholic. She had a certain way she wanted to be, you know, leave this earth. And, you know, it's just unimaginable. And, again, what many of us, everybody on this radio show right now, we don't understand how people could think this way. But we can't also think how Ted Bundy did what he did and Fairley did what she did and all these other people that do these heinous acts and these lawyers that support these heinous acts. It's like, how can you live at night? I've had lawyers want to shake my hand, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. Shaking a hand is about friendship. I don't shake hands with an enemy. And these people are my enemies, and they're enemies of they're enemies of the world. You know, it's like these are just evil people. So, but anyway, I ended up in 2012 in December when they told me I couldn't see my mom except for with special visitation. That day, I went home and I made a website, and then I got a banner made, and then I started promoting and making this website so that the world could see it, and started going down to the state capitol in Tallahassee and speaking out every time I got a chance to do that. So enough, I think, ruckus was made for 4 years, and one of the original guardian dropped out, and the next guardian came in, which that's a whole another story. They were all connected with the lawyers and all that. It's like, again, this incestual thing they talk about, it's there. And all these people are connected. They know each other, and they help each other. So, but we actually had Amanda Haystack with Disability Rights represent my mom, and I think that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back that said, okay, you can have your mom back. I think they probably knew that she was not going to live too much longer also. She didn't appear to be sick or anything like that. She did have congestive heart disease. They gave her terrible, terrible food, which they do in all these nursing homes. But at home, they made terrible food for my mom, or they went out and bought Kentucky Fried Chicken or some other McDonald's food to give her, and that didn't help. But before she passed, she was going through physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy. The day that she did pass, we went to the vet that morning, and I remember looking at my mom. I'll never forget this. I looked at her, and I thought, man, she's stepping. She's really stepping her legs up. She shuffled, and now she's stepping. And I just thought, this stuff is working. This is working. Shorty had to have his ACL repaired, and he got a good bill of health after that. So mom was all happy, and we took him home. Then we went out and ate, and then we went to Chick-fil-A, and we'd get the kitty cups, and she was eating her little kitty cup. I ate mine, and two bites, it was gone. She was savoring her each bite, and then she just stopped, and a bubble came out of her mouth, and she was a blank stare, and I just said, Mom, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, is there a doctor in the house? And someone said, call 911, and I didn't even know how to call. I didn't know how to dial my phone. I just looked at it. I guess I was in shock, but I had her in my arms. So we had to put her down on the ground, but I had her in my arms, and I just said, everything's going to be all right. I love you. And they put her in the ambulance, and I thought she was going to make it, but she didn't. So.
Wow. And this was, Doug, this was just like about, what, a month or so after you got her out of guardianship that you were able to be with her? Was it 45 days, right, of freedom?
Yep. We, you know, it was amazing. We went to a mediation, which I'm not supposed to talk about. But it was a hostage negotiation. That's what it was. That's it, plain and simple. And when they told us we could have our mom that day if we signed some stuff, I just freaked. I couldn't believe it. I got to see her that day, and I had to move all my stuff, and I was I lived in Atlanta, Ackworth, Georgia, north of Atlanta, and I was all ready to get all my stuff to move down. It was just an unexpected surprise. So there took some time to try to do the logistics to get everything ready to come down. And, again, I just wanted to help keep this house going up here, but live with my mom as much time as possible. So that's what I did. You know, I just ended up moving down, and just the house up here was vacant for a while.
Well, that's and you did get your mom back, and that's after over four years. It's so sad that they robbed you. That time, Doug, they robbed you. They literally robbed you of the 4 years of your mother. I was robbed of my mother too for years. You know, it's just so sad that we've had to do that. And I know that you made a banner and you put it around your whole car called FreeYourUnderstanding.com, 30,000 per month exploitation, isolation, stop guardianship abuse. So how did you get that banner? And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what inspired me. You know, there's magnetic banners. Actually, I know what it was. I was going to get a banner for my car, a magnetic sticker for my business I had. And I ended up, they just will blow off if you drive with them, unless they're big enough. And so I ended up getting just vinyl letters put on my car, and then I got my car totaled out by a deer. And that introduced me to this whole concept of putting some signage on your car. But with this banner I got, part of it was a bit of a mistake. I got a mesh banner, so it means it has holes in it. But you can read everything fine. It's not like it's hard to read. But the mesh allows you to put magnets on top of the mesh, and if your car is metal, then it sticks to your car. So I was able to drive up to the busiest intersection in Pensacola, right by the 3 Mile Bridge and 17th Avenue, pull my car there and put this banner, roll it out, put magnets on it, and then everybody in the world could see it. One of my finest days in court was when the opposing attorney said, "And Mr. Franks is putting this banner all over very prestigious parts of Pensacola." And I'm like, "Yeah." And then they said, "And they're at the 3 Mile Bridge," and they named a number. It was like 40,000, or it was a pretty large number, about how many people go by there each day. And I'm thinking, oh, really? Okay. I'm from Pensacola. I knew this was a business intersection, but I didn't do the math or just get the statistics, which I'm sure my mom paid for these people to do that. But, you know, I was someplace where everybody was seeing it. People honked the horn. I was able to see how many people would go to the websites. And it was, you know, the website, when I was parked there, it was a spike. So the website's very important to tell your story. And the banner is very important to be that vehicle to let people see that website. You know, you can, the Free Interesting's on Facebook and on emails and other things I'll send people so they can go to that. But it's important, you know, when you have a website that it's not too long, it's not too complicated, and it gets people's interest. What I would do now is I would have put a picture of my mom, just her face, on the banner also, and I could have done that. And then that would have put a human touch to all this, this elderly sweet lady, what's going on? Why does she need to be free? So this is something that, again, I wanted to do it last year. I didn't do anything. This year, it's getting kind of late, but I'm ready to kind of get going on this and try to start helping other people with the logistics and how to do this. I know it costs some money, but it's not as far as, you know, it doesn't cost as much as an attorney charges for an hour, let's put it that way. And it's much better money spent for sure. So I'm going to try to work that out and have a template so that when people want to have sites about their mom or dad or husband, loved ones that are in a guardianship, this is something we can kind of do kind of quick, and we can have facts, and it has to be factual. I don't want to put anything up there that's not truthful. And that we can get this thing put up on the Internet, and so instantly these people have a presence. They can hand out business cards. They can get a banner also for relatively cheap and put on their car. And just, you know, you can actually, I took mine to the courthouse, put the banner up. I parked right in front of the courthouse, and not at an angle, but just parallel to the courthouse. So it was a major, you could see all the car wasn't obstructed. I'd put some money in the meter, and then I'd go somewhere downtown and shop or look around or ride a bike, or a friend would pick me up. So, you know, I had basically a billboard that I could put anywhere. And, you know, someone could come by and steal the sign, which would be a bummer. But, again, it's not like they're $1,000 or something that's like, I can't lose that. They're relatively inexpensive. So I think, again, this is one more weapon that I had in my arsenal to try to fight these people. And, again, they have all the, you know, they have the court. They have the biggest arsenal that they don't want to get the judge upset. And an attorney's job is to make the judge's job as easy as possible. That's when anyone ever says, I work for you, you're my main guy, they're lying. They work for the judge. And not necessarily saying that they're bad people, but they have to make the judge feel comfortable, because that's just what they're used to doing. And that's what an attorney does. He makes gives the judge options so that he doesn't get painted into a corner. And again, it doesn't help us much. Doesn't help us much at all, but that's what happens. So we have to all realize that's what's going on. And again, I think the attorneys that don't do that are the ones that get sanctioned and disbarred. So we have some good attorneys, some noble ones, but then they get, you know, knocked down after 6 years, 7 years, whatever they do at law school. That's all. What are you going to do now? Wash dishes or something else? You know, they've lost their career. So they think twice before they make the judge upset.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we look at Leslie Federicos, who is one of the few that we have throughout the country, you know, and she has been reprimanded by the Florida Bar for doing one thing and one thing only. In my eyes, it's helping victims, not all rich victims. We're talking indigent victims of guardianship abuse and basically shining a little light, a dim little light on what is happening in probate courts. And, you know, the gang doesn't like that. They don't want anyone, you know, ruining a good thing for them. So it's terrible. It's really, really bad. But we need you, Doug, because you've done so much good, and, man, just fantastic what you've done. And your mother would be so proud.
Yeah.
She always told me, show them you can do it. All my life. When I had school, man, I had some hard times at school. Hell, I was making D's and maybe some C's. And then in 11th grade, I got most improved student. But, again, my mom was behind me. She pushed me. She always gave me that you can do it. You know, I think today, and we all think this, like, I wish I could tell my mom this. You know, and you don't say my dad's house, you say my mom's house. And I always would say, hey, well, let's all meet at my mom's house. I'd always say that. And that's just, it's kind of one of these cultural things. It's just the mother is a big deal. And I keep on, man, my dad was a boxer. He could knock my mom out. But he was, I won't say he was afraid. He just respected her. And she ruled the roost. What she said went. But my dad knew that what she did was the right thing and was a safe thing, even though these were gambles and investments she made. And she had a 2-year business degree from Bowling Green Business School. Dad had a 3rd grade education, but he was a self-made man, a metalsmith, and he had some awards at the Naval Air Station where he worked on airplanes. So, you know, we had the bull, my dad, and the brains, my mom. And it was just a good, good situation. And again, the love that I saw my mom and my dad have when my dad got cancer and passed away. Before that, though, I saw this love that I just thought, wow, man, that's a gift. I got to see a gift that is something that I wish maybe I'll have one day. But, you know, not everybody gets that. You know, not everybody gets a chance like all of us on the radio. And I could say God's work, and it is, but it is you make a difference for humanity. You can go through a job and you can make all this money and have all these possessions and cars, and yep, I wouldn't mind having a boat and a fancy car. But at the end of the day, what did I contribute to this world, you know? And again, I feel like I contributed a lot already. There's more to do. I even had a scare. I went to a cardiologist, and the the doctor said, you know, you could die any day, or you could just live for many, many years. And I'm like, well, which one is it? And that shocked me because I thought, I got more to do. I'm not done with this guardianship stuff. I got a lot more to do, so I need to live longer. So I don't have any fear about dying. I just want to make sure we can get this stuff under control. And again, all of us, and we need more people, of course, and they need to be vocal, but everyone needs to keep running. The movie, I Care a Lot, and the original one that came out with Julie Belshi, The Guardian, that was an excellent one, you know, with Rick and everybody in that. It's like we're getting some good PR. And again, Mike Basilinda and Adam Walser, they've been incredible. Those two guys, again, I know good deeds don't take you to heaven, but if they're believers, they're going to get, you know, the nicer, higher chairs for sure, because what they've done is incredible. Words do not describe how noble these people are and what they've done
right.
with their news capability and getting the word out. You know, they're heroes to me.
Yep. Right, and me as well, and we're grateful for, a lot of publications, they do an obligatory article once every year or two. Adam Walser, Mike Vasilinda, I called him up and I said, Mike, there's a guardianship task force thing, I'm on it, this, that. He goes, okay, I'll call you next week. Call me Tuesday. He said, can we do a Zoom right now? Boom, there was a piece out. And, you know, it just got the word out. People who never knew, I went to Publix in Naples, and one of the checkout women said, oh, I saw you on TV. And she goes, I never knew about guardianship. And I said, neither did I. You know, and she goes, well, thank you for what you're doing. And so that's a plus. And the cause is just so important for Robin, Doug, myself, Luann, Marcy, Rick, Sam, so many others that we devote all of our time. Today, to me, Doug was like, oh, my God, hearing at 8:30, hearing at 10:30, hearing at 11, meeting with a state rep at 1, and always just being, you know, enthusiastic and positive, but it is a big fight, and the corruption, and I don't say that lightly, is so thick that it is a battle that we will fight, I'm sure, for a few more years until the public really gets to see what it is. And I love that idea, Guardianship for Dummies, like, you know,
yeah.
walking people
yeah.
through, and also a warning, like, you know,
right.
just this is what can happen, because, you know, we all thought we were smarter or street smart, whatever. I never thought being a native New Yorker city girl, anyone could get over on my family. And they did. And Doug and I, and you, Luann, I mean, we really have won the lottery. Mentally.
Yeah, I know.
Getting our
you know, I agree with what you're saying, but I also want to kind of highlight the fact that what we're talking about, because people ask, what can I do? The court has taken my mother and locked her away, or my child, or whoever. What can I do? And I want to highlight the fact that in each of these cases where someone has been successful in actually getting their loved one out of the clutches of these people that take them for profit, we're talking about people here. When you talk about Doug Franks, when you talk about Hillary Hogue, when you talk about Luann Fleming, we're talking about people who found a way to become as vocal and to bring out the truth to as many people as they could, as hard as they could. You know, Doug got a website up and then got banners and put them on his car and then parked his car in front of the courthouse. And parked his car at
yeah.
the busiest spot he could find. And people want to know what they can do. Well, when you're listening to this radio show, and Hillary says, call into the Florida Guardianship Task Force, and give your story, you know, get your story up there too. I want to make sure that we give people the information about what number they can call or what website they can go to mm-hmm. to do that, because it's important that we take those actions. It's important that you realize it doesn't go away by itself. We are in a war, and the enemy is well organized and fighting hard, and you can't sit by the sidelines saying, gosh, this is terrible, gosh, this is terrible, I sure wish there was something we can do, and not take action yourself and consider yourself in this fight. If you're not taking action, well, for evil to prosper, all that is necessary is for good men to do nothing. You know, if we sit by the sidelines and go, gee, that's terrible, sure would be nice if someone would get this word out, sure would be nice if someone would do something, then we are, just by not taking that action, we become part of the problem. And
Robin,
we have to recognize that, acknowledge that, and realize that.
Go ahead, Hillary.
Right, Robin thinks, I'm sorry. You know, there's this post a little bit ago, and it just really rang true. It's whatever, a picture of a woman. She goes, you know, how about the people that say they wish there was more that they can do, and you ask them to help, and they go, oh, I really can't, I'm busy. You know, it's just like we're asking. We don't, as activists, you know, we're not like, you've got to meet us downtown in front of the courthouse every Sunday for 5 hours and donate $500. We don't want anything. We really don't ask for much, but certain times where there is something that's quite important, we just ask, you know, please, please, please make a public comment. Please attend these Zoom hearings and the task force, because it'll get the word out, because everyone's story is as catastrophic as the next. So.
Right. So if you put together, maybe Doug or Hillary, put together where people can go to on that task force, exactly what time to call in, exactly, because I was having problems finding that as well, and how to put in comments. I can post those on our site as well, so if you guys can do that and get that done, I'll be glad to post that everywhere. But it is very important for everybody to get involved, and it's just like Hillary, your dad was taken, you become a huge advocate out there in Florida and across the country. You know, Rick Black also, you know, his in-law was taken, and before you know it, he's a huge advocate. We are all working this together, because if we don't, we're going to leave a mess for our children, period. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's good that, you know, and going to the news media, don't stop going to the news media, and just don't stop. You know, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Marcy Freeman. She is one of our other co-hosts, and she has finally, after 7 years, gets to see her mom. They are surprise visits. She pays $50 a day to see her mom when she goes up. But at least the judge has finally agreed to let her see her mom. Nobody can get involved. And the attorney that came and helped her, she was a pro bono attorney. Her name, she's from a Spectrum Law Firm in Miami. And her name is Sandy Boisrond. And she did get Marcy to see her mother. And that's a huge improvement. So there are some really good attorneys out there that are working still for their clients, and Marcy is now able to see her mom, and thank God, because that was a huge fight to see her mom. Just, and the courts would say, yes, you can see her, but then the in-laws would keep her away. So then now her mom is put into a nursing home, and yet she can now see her mom, and it's beautiful to see that connection between mother and daughter finally. So that's why I say, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up fighting for your mom. And if my mom was still here, I'm still fighting for her, even though she's not here. I fight for her every day. I fight for all the other mothers out there. I fight for the fathers. I fight for everybody. I don't give up. It's in my blood. My dad would say, don't ever give up. And I don't, you know. But we have to continue doing these radio shows. We have to continue being advocates. We have to continue, like Doug says, if you need a website up, if you need a banner, contact our radio show. And to do that, I'm going to tell you the information to do that right now. In fact, I also want to tell you that the show can be found at the links anytime that I put on Facebook. If anyone misses the show, they can view it at their own leisure. So make sure you know and everybody else knows that the link is good even after the show as a post-recorded option. And make sure you share those with your friends, family, anybody. And you can also find us on Faceless Radio. We are on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Families Against Fraud Embezzlement, Unethical Standards, Face Us. And we're also on the Hidden Truth Revealed. You can be notified when our shows are going to air, so all you have to do is hit the follow button. So make sure that you tell that to everybody you know, and we'll keep putting out as much information as we can. And also, if you want to come on our radio shows and talk about what happened to your mom and your mom, dad, relative, or anybody, you can do that. And you can hit us up on Faceless Radio at hotmail.com. Faceless Radio at hotmail.com is our email. For now, we're going to be moving that over to Proton Mail soon. But for now, that's how you get a hold of us. Do you have anything else you want to say, Robin?
No. No, that about covers the housekeeping, I think.
The housekeeping rules, yeah. Anyway, Doug, since you're on here, is there a another meeting coming up in Tallahassee soon?
Well, on the 23rd, I think, and again, Hillary can...
No, it is. You're right, Doug.
Yeah. So we all went to Tallahassee a while back, and it was Hillary and I think about six people at least. We all came there. We all spoke.
Yep.
Some of us had just 1 minute to speak, and Hillary did not take 1 minute. She went ahead, took her time, and said what she had to say. What Hillary said one time, what Hillary Hogan, I need to say her whole name, what she said is, because this has happened to me, I can't turn away from it. And I thought, God, that's what I said, you know. And some of us that are really active, it's one of these things that we cannot, you know, I want to have fun. I want to do other stuff. But it's almost like I don't want anybody else to go through this living hell that I went through. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't walk away with it. I've lost, I mean, some friendships, relationships, those type of things. They've suffered and they've been just, some have been destroyed by this. And it's just, okay, you know, that's a bummer. But I'll just move on. And again, I think also there's probably a little DNA in all of us that we are similar that we can just keep on trudging on. Even when things are the worst, we just, okay, suck it up. I'll keep going. And Hillary is, I can't say enough things about Hillary that are wonderful. Again, the way she's at this Florida Guardianship Improvement Task Force, how she speaks out. You know, they wanted her not to speak so much, but she keeps speaking, so that's good.
Yeah,
they,
I know.
But,
no, I feel like
and that's fine. I mean, that's what we need. It's like, I'm kind of more, I get riled up, and when I gave my speech, Rick had given his, and another lady had given hers, and she was in tears. I had to change my speech because then I was mad. I was real mad, and I just had to say, this is why we're here, is because, you know, all you guys are here because of us, you know, and not a huge group, a small group of us have made the whole state of Florida have to come up with a task force to address this grievance we have. And like Hillary says, we need to have more people and need to be active. And again, if you just come in to these Zoom meetings and just show up. Again, my meeting, I know for sure the judge, and I'm not going to say anything bad about the judge. I don't know enough. Hopefully he's going to be a good guy. But I know that because everyone was there, he took notice. And I think he wanted to give every possibility for both attorneys to say what they had to say. And then he said, hey, get back with me 14 days and give me some more information so I could ponder that, you know. So I know that when we have these Zoom meetings and people attend, it helps us. And especially if you put down your name and you put down elder advocate, elder guardianship victim, news reporter, task force member, you know, all these different titles, these people, I'll just say this, Zoom is a blessing. It is.
It was one of the only good things, honestly, about COVID was the Zoom and the judge. You're right. He really, it was unbelievable. The lawyers weren't going crazy. There was no problem being in the hearing. You know, we weren't at risk of being thrown out. And it was very civilized, and it went well. Luann, when there's a minute, I would like to read something.
Yeah, go ahead and do that right now.
Okay, it'll just take me a second. So this was a case, and I had never really done much research in in Citrus County, but somehow, I don't know, when I research, I just go all over the place. So this is concerning the guardianship of Sharon L. Beckwith, an alleged incapacitated person. And it's from 2021, so it's quite recent. And it's a response to petitions to determine incapacity and for the appointment of guardian and report of attorney and elicitor. And I won't go through the, you know, admit, deny and all this, but, you know, I quite often during my day, I think of the elderly and the disabled. You know, I'm in my 50s, so I'll deny it, you know, and just to think being in my 80s or 90s, my hearing going, my eyesight not being as good as it was, not being as steady on my feet, and, you know, most of my friends maybe no longer alive, and being put through the stress and just the torment and disaster of someone, whoever it was, filing a guardianship petition. So anyway, so this is just the report of the attorney for the court-appointed attorney for Sharon. The undersigned met with the alleged incapacitated person, Sharon L. Beckwith, on August 27, 2021, at Grand Living of Citrus Hills, a long-term assisted living facility located in Hernando, Florida. In reference to the petition to determine incapacity and the petition for appointment of plenary guardianship filed by Joseph Coffey, the proposed ward, Ms. Beckwith, is 78 years old, and the undersigned met with the ward in her apartment at the facility. The proposed ward greeted me at the door, and we sat in the living room of her apartment. The proposed ward was alert and understood the reason for my visit. She expressed appreciation for the fact that an attorney had been appointed by the court to represent her in these proceedings. Little did she know about court-appointed attorneys, unless this gentleman is a good one. The undersigned provided copies of the petition for the appointment of guardian, as well as the petition to determine, incapacitated, and for the appointment of plenary guardian to the proposed ward. The undersigned also informed the proposed ward of the scheduled hearing and her right to be present by Zoom at the hearing. The ward has been subject to a temporary emergency guardianship since July 27, 2021. So she was very familiar with the situation and with the current court proceedings. She indicated that she did wish to participate in the hearing, but expressed concern that she does not have a computer currently set up and that she could use for that purpose. She was also concerned about attempting to attend a Zoom hearing on her telephone. I met with the proposed ward for over an hour. She understood that I was appointed to represent her interests in this matter. The proposed ward related to me that she had a medical scan after she had been involved in an automobile accident. Upon reviewing the results of that scan, the doctor told her that she had suffered at least 2 strokes. She acknowledged that she had difficulty with short-term memory. I asked if later that day if she would be able to remember that I had visited her. She said she would remember that I had visited her and why I was there, but she probably wouldn't remember my name. She acknowledged that she was having financial difficulties due to that and not remembering to pay bills, like her mortgage and utilities. The proposed ward also understands that she needs financial assistance, but is very concerned with the manner in which the emergency guardian is handling her affairs. The proposed ward does not wish to have a plenary guardian who can make all decisions on her own without consulting with the proposed ward. The proposed ward was concerned that her home and all of the contents of the home were currently being put up for auction. She said nobody ever told me they were going to go through the house and sell everything. She is concerned about her family heirlooms, items of sentimental value that belong to her parents and to her late husband, and other items such as dishes from Greece and her Waterford crystal, all of which are being sold. She is concerned that she has not had an opportunity, has not had the option to hold on to any of these items that she wishes to keep so much. The proposed ward is also concerned that despite the fact that she has a fairly substantial monthly income coming in, she's retired from NASA and is the widow of a 100% disabled vet. She has absolutely no money available to her. She indicated that although the facility has buses that go to the grocery stores and Walmart, she has no spending money at all. The undersigned has reviewed the examining committee reports, two of which say her prognosis is guarded, and one who recommends a limited rather than a plenary. Based upon my review and my interactions with the proposed ward, it is my opinion that a limited guardian would be most appropriate for Ms. Beckwith. She requires paying her bills and making sure expenses are met, but at this time, living in the assisted living residence, as opposed to the situation she was in the beginning of these proceedings, is in a position to, at minimum, be consulted about her final financial decisions. I see no evidence at this time that the proposed ward does not have the ability to, at a minimum, participate in her health care and all other major decisions. Based on the foregoing, the undersigned respectfully submits to this honorable court that a finding of incapacity and an appointment of limited guardian would be in the best interest of the ward. Edward State, bar number 70722. You know, and we all get the visual of this woman just being pushed into a corner and having people that don't even know her, have never met her, have never, you know, known anything about her life, that they even have the ability to decide what's right for this woman who obviously, it sounds, is doing okay with a few exceptions. So thank you for letting me read that.
Yeah. Gosh. Oh, what do you have to say after that? Yeah, that absolutely breaks my heart. And it's just like people just come in and they just decide what's best for you. And, you know, I was just sitting there thinking when you were talking about that, that someone would come into my home and clean out all my personal belongings. I'd be really pissed because some of the things I have in my room, you know, in my house are a lot of my personal things from my mom and my family members. And for someone to come in and take stuff like that from you, it's just that somebody could actually do that, you know. And
right.
It's happening every day. I have a case going on right now. I have a case going on right now in Colorado where they just went in and they have the mother in a nursing home and the daughter's having all kinds of charges up against her. And she's asked me not to come to court because she's afraid for my life if I go to court that they're going to come after me. And it's like, they don't want me. They want her mother who has all the money. You know, I just don't see why they would come after me at all. I mean, what do you think the logic is in that? I don't know. But I'm just saying that these people are scared for anybody and everybody to get involved in their court cases. And I think it's a shame that that has to happen. Anyway, we're going to bring in Marcy. I think Marcy is here with us. Marcy, are you with us?
Yes. Good evening, America.
Yeah, Marcy is one of our other co-hosts that comes on, and she's been with the radio show for a couple of years now. She has actually had the okay to see her mother from a judge finally. So how's that going, Marcy?
Yes. Well, he gave me my rights, and I basically have to bend over backwards. But the most important thing here is that my mother and I get to see each other, and everything that was said was all a lie. So my mother has come to court many, 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 many times and has always said that she wanted to see me. All three judges have heard her. And we are so happy that we get to see each other. And even if I have to pay, it is worth every penny of it to be supervised, because my mother and I have nothing to hide except to show love for one another. So with that said, I have downloaded the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights that was done in 1948. And every person has the right to liberty. And all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. What we need to do to get attention is, and which I'm going to take it upon myself to do, I'm going to try to reach the United Nations, and I want to know how I can enforce those rights in the United States of America, which we do, because I don't want anybody to be isolating me or none of us at the end of our life after we have worked our butts off, isolated from our only children and being vandalized because her property was vandalized. Everything in her apartment was vandalized, and she speaks of all her things still because she remembers so good. So with all that said, thank you for letting me speak, because, and I will be sharing this Declaration of Human Rights, which was done in 1948. So thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And also to mention, I wanted to mention this. We are having actually Zena Crenshaw coming on next week. I don't want anybody to miss the show. She is just amazing, and she's going to be talking about the United Nations. We've got a lot to cover with her. A good friend of mine got her in touch with me, and we're going to be having her on the radio show. We had her on a couple of years ago. Well, she's going to be coming on next week. I don't want anybody to miss this because she's got a lot of information. In fact, I'm going to try to team up with Marty Oakley and do both of our shows together with Zena Crenshaw on it, because she's going to be talking to us the latest updates on the United Nations and all kinds of information. She was also at the that big old symposium we did with Dr. Sam Sugar. She came on there to speak also in there as well. So please don't miss next week at all, or in that case, none of these weeks. We got a lineup coming up for you that's really going to be awesome. I've been talking to a lot of people. I've got like 10 more people. I still got a call. So, I'll be telling you who's going to be coming on our shows. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that you could call into the radio show anytime we're doing one. And the number you do that is you call this number with your phone, 845-241-9962. I'll say that one more time. You get a pencil and a paper, 845-401-9962, and you press a 1, and that will get you into the radio show, and you will be live on the air with us. And if you have to change your name temporarily or whatever you have to do, we understand. But call into our show, and you can talk to Doug, you can talk to Marcy or Hillary or Robin or any one of us here live on the radio. But I just wanted to show you that. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Luann, just, you know, I texted you the task force, the Guardianship Improvement Task Force, where you can leave a comment. And then I will, tomorrow, it starts at 12 Eastern Standard Time. I will send you tomorrow about 10 o'clock. Or I can send it to you tonight, the YouTube link.
Yes, please do.
Can you send it to me too, Hillary? I'll make it a point to join.
No, only Luann. Of course, I can. Whatever.
Wow.
You know. I love you, Mark.
Ya parece que no me lo vas a mandar.
Yeah.
What? Not even Doug? Come on.
The Cuban in me is going to come out. I'm going to start talking Spanish here.
That's okay. We love Spanish. And that's another, you know, that's another problem. And just, Marcy, thank you, that I will talk about quite briefly, is interpreters in probate court. Many, many times, Marcy has had to translate. Many, many times, we have seen victims and their family members going to court without a translator. And the Department of Justice explicitly says that there are to be translators available in every court section. And I called in one hearing in Hillsborough, and the judicial assistant said, oh, no, it's only for criminal cases. No. I said, well, don't you think guardianship is – we're dealing with someone who's never committed a crime, and basically all of their rights are at risk. I sent her the copy of the DOJ document, and there was a translator. But that's only one
case.
We need it to be universal because it's so needed. It's so needed, and it shouldn't be a fight translator.
And Hillary, it's not only needed, it is fair. As you know, several times we had the hearing and none was provided to my mother. And then the person who was going to interpret had a conflict of interest. So we know that is so sad that our vulnerable, not just my mother, but across the United States, across America, because it's happening nationwide, is happening just because they're Cubans or they're Czechoslovakians or from wherever in the world, they are humans. It is a human right, and they should all be validated as a human, as a person. And this is not happening. And clearly it's not happening. So this United Nations Declaration, I think we may have something there. And I'm going to call and find out what our rights are. That's all.
Right. And you know, Marcy, I agree with you.
The whole concept of putting someone into a courtroom where their native language is not spoken, and it's kind of the same kind of strategy that some of these unethical individuals use when they have an ex parte hearing, where the person that is put into a guardianship is never invited to the party. They don't know that there's a hearing going on. They are not a party to the hearing, and individuals that they've never met and don't know anything about go into a room that is a courtroom, and a person in a black robe pounds the gavel and says, so be it. And now that person gets to meet the person that has been assigned to be their guardian, an armed group of guards that will take that person out of the house and lock them away, and they begin the process of stripping away the goods and properties of that person. It's all done in a way that is totally unethical. It's ex parte hearing. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're
well,
in
that's
a room
why
where
they isolate.
Banned because it's a different language that they're speaking, it's very much the same kind of violation. Because if I don't know what people are saying, they can say whatever they want. Do whatever they want, and if I'm unable to understand because I don't have the language that they're using, I don't have those skills in that language, then I might as well not be there at all. It doesn't matter. That's the same kind of, the same level of violation that is going on when they're violating your rights in an ex parte hearing. And and we all know that those happen every day in this country and throughout the world.
Yes.
And we all see and understand how that's completely unethical, and yet it's done every day. These are some of the things that we face, and this is why we're standing up and speaking out, and this is why we're taking action. It's why we have this radio show, so that people can hear about it mm-hmm. and get indignant about it and say, wait a minute, I don't want this to be allowed. I want to stand up and say, we're not going to allow this. As a human being, I'm going to do my best to look out after the other human beings that are being taken advantage of by people that are using unethical standards and are using corrupt practices and are acting in ways that are not right, simply not right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I absolutely agree. Exactly what you're talking about. What's going on in, you know, United States across America is just human ownership. It's human trafficking. And even Doug. Doug, you still with us?
Yes, I am. I'm still with
that,
you.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something real quick. Marcy, I got a camera mm-hmm. that has a SD card that I will – it's a video camera that I'll be more than happy to ship you. You need to videotape you and your mom together. So those moments, you see them on my Facebook where I have moments with my mom. So that might be something that you should do while you can, you know, while your mom's still alive. And the videotape
yeah,
is great
well,
and expensive.
So
I wanted to just offer that to you if you wanted to go that direction.
Well,
right.
That's very sweet. If they allow it, you know.
Well, again, if you're not doing anything wrong, if you're paying $50 an hour, hey, it's like, you know, if you go to Disney World, you can kind of videotape there. So, you know, you're paying money to get in. Might as well be able to videotape your mom. And again, what you might be able to do is say, hey, look at this guy, Doug Franks. You know, it's he videotaped.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
You know, look at all these beautiful moments
yeah.
they have. And again, not only do I show people that my mom wasn't incapacitated, I also show that the relationship that I have with my mom. And again, for me, it shows other people, but also it's something that it's a keepsake for me, just like when you have pictures, you know, you can actually see
of
your mom
course.
And speak and have that memories yeah. that are
everlasting. And like your mom, you know, she speaks from the heart. They can try to mess with people's minds, but the love, no one can mess with the love of a mother and a child. And she said to me, I cried for you. I told everybody I wanted you to take care of me. And she said, I said, Mom, I think that you kept yourself alive just to see me. She said, yes, I cried for you. It was so heartbreaking. But you know what? I take every win. They can take away the property. They can, and they have, and they can put it in special trust all of a sudden and do whatever to try to clean their act up. And but they, what these people have done, they have hurt my most precious person in this whole world, other than my children, because she is the woman that brought me and raised me and carried me in her belly. Any human being to question that, to me, it's clear and convincing evidence that they do not have the best interest of our loved ones. And I think God has chosen each and every one of us to carry this journey out and creating, continuing to create a light with our experiences, because they cannot take that away from us. And we have rights to speak, and this is a human right.
That's
no power can take that away, not even of the President of the United States. Everyone is allowed to criticize him. There's no oppression in this country.
Exactly.
And that's the way it is.
You know, to
yeah.
add
Go
to
ahead,
all
Doug.
This, there's also the, you know, the federal government is looking at something where, again, the Charlie Crist of Florida and a congressperson or woman from South Carolina are trying to, I don't know if it's called the Free Act, but they want to do some type of bill. I don't know if they've already voted on it or not, but and how it's moving along. But that's a big deal. Again, the federal government now has gotten involved, and that's something we kept on saying well, the states aren't doing it. The federal government needs to do it. You know, we're so desperate to have someone listen to us and some kind of someone with power and influence be able to correct this thing. Everyone, you know, we all look for that shining white knight or whatever, the person that's going to fix it all. And that's just human nature. And like right. we said earlier, attorneys, people may have 3 or 4, 6 or 7 attorneys because they're trying to get that shining white knight. And, you know, it's best being optimistic. And again, Marcy was optimistic. She kept fighting. She got to see her mom. Hopefully she'll get to do some videotaping too and have those memories. I fought and I said, look, you know, we have someone that's going to be getting paid $100 an hour. My mom's going to pay him $100 an hour. I'm going to videotape so that person's not going to write anything down that's not true. We're going to have a videotape we can watch and we'll see what happened. And again, you just, you know, not to try to get your mother or loved one upset. And sometimes there's videos where people will try to get their loved ones to say something. They'll put kind of words because they're not doing anything wrong. They're so desperate. And I've seen that. That's desperation of, you know, my mom used to say this about me. And if she could just say it. And it's almost like, yeah, but everybody can see you're pushing her. So it needs to be as relaxing as possible and as enjoyable as possible.
Oh, yeah.
And just appreciate that you, again, we shouldn't need to have this right to be able to be with our loved ones, but we need to appreciate every second.
Mm-hmm.
And again, use
every
that as
second
a as fuel to push us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, push us.
Yeah, and
do
you
more
know,
and help other
and
people.
It has been very warming and very pleasant. And she asked me, how come it took you so long to come see me? But I said, Mom, it doesn't matter. I'm here now. I don't like things done behind my back, she said. But you know what? I don't need to upset her and tell her why, because that's not why I'm there. I'm there to have a compassionate, loving visit. And whatever she feels or she says, it's randomly she says it, and then I try to go around it so she doesn't get upset because she doesn't deserve that. And so, but thank you because I don't know. I know in the hospital you couldn't videotape, you know. But
right.
Well, hopefully
this
you can. So we'll communicate
thank
through
you.
Facebook and
thank
make
you,
this
Mom.
Happen.
Yeah,
well,
let's
thank
go ahead and bring in some callers. We got a 773 number. They've had their hand up for a while. 773, you have a question or a comment? Could you?
Hello, good evening. This is Aldona Kumpin.
Hi.
Hello, Aldona.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yes, thank you guys for doing all of it. I just wanted to mention, I went lately to Michigan to fight against the guardianship, and there was an attorney general had a meeting in the park, which I think was bullshit what she was talking about. She was talking about fixing roof for the elderly, not to foreclose properties on elderly. And I had a chance to speak with the senator of Senator of Michigan, Rosemary Boyd, I believe, and I told her I would like to speak with you about the guardianship, and I said I came from Chicago because my mom was murdered of guardianship, and she said, I don't want to talk to you and because you're from Chicago, and I said, why not? The guardianship issue is all over the United States. She said, I'm not going to talk to you. She walked away. I just wanted to mention. I didn't post it on Facebook, but I will. They just running away from the problem. The attorney general basically got judges under her wings, and she should address the problem, but she doesn't. She's bullshitting about the fixing roof. or other issue, but they don't want to hear it about the guardianship abuse and murder.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that's unfortunate because it's a nationwide issue that we have. It's kind of like the COVID issue we've got going on, but this is through guardianship abuse. It's the same kind of, it's a different kind of virus going on. And I'm just trying to figure out why he would not give you the honor of even talking to you. Why she wouldn't even give you a second to say what you had to say. I just don't think that's fair.
I mentioned to the person who was in charge of the event, and I showed her my mom's pictures, what they did to my mom in 5 months, what a huge difference. And she said, we've got different topics to talk about. And I said, I understand. And I mentioned, if nobody will address from your party about the guardianship issue, the next time you will be on the guardianship bed. And she jumped when I said this. And yeah. I'm thinking, yes, they think that they are not touchable, but they will be someday in the books, like German killed people all over the world. They will be in the books eventually.
You're exactly right about that. And we've had some people come on that used to be other judges, and they used to be doctors, and they used to be all kinds of physicists and all kinds of, legislators, and they've had their parents put into guardianship. So I understand what you're talking about. You're exactly right that it could happen to them next, and that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Yes, and I think we have to address and talking to them. You will be next under guardianship if you don't do anything, because they think they are not touchable and they have power, but basically not. And I also drove 6 hours to Michigan, but I will represent Chicago because my mom died in Chicago. I was driving so many hours, and she didn't want to even listen. She walked away. She ran away from the. Even today, I was on Zoom, and we were, judge didn't like that was so many of us on Zoom for Becky, and basically they didn't let us in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell, and that's what we do is that we were on a Zoom call one time, and I was up there, and there was Dr. Sam Sugar, and there was Rick Black, and there was Hillary, there's me and like about 25 of us advocates, And it's like, you know, we kind of, and you know what? And Hillary always tells the judge something, we have a right to be here. It's like, just slice up the whole screen. And sometimes judges are saying, who's that? Don't speak like that. You're not allowed to. But every time Hillary comes on, they're like, yeah, okay, thank you for telling us that or something. I'm like, you go, Hillary.
The best one.
But you know what? Just don't give up what you're doing and just keep going and doing what we're doing. Next time, carry a sign with you and say, I'm a victim as well. Whatever you could do to let them people know that this happened to you, do it. You know, that's what I would have done a little bit differently. But, you know, we stood in front of our legislators where they didn't even want to talk to us about it. So I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel.
I spoke with Poland with the Justice Department, and I spoke with them over the phone, but I will be sending all the information, so hopefully maybe Poland will help us, and I will include everybody, because my mom had double citizenship, but I also will include all of you guys, because we're all victims in it.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much, and... welcome. Come talk to us on the show anytime you want. Give us updates anytime you want. We appreciate that. And I'm glad you went to get that done. Thank you for calling in the show. And I'll talk to you on Facebook as well.
Thank you. And thank you for basically doing the show. And thank you for all your comments. And we're helping each other, basically.
Yes, we are. Yes. We are helping each other. We thank you for coming on.
I wanted to let you guys
to let you guys know that, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but Carrie Kasem was a guest at the Dr. Oz show.
Good.
Speaking about guardianship and speaking about her book. So that was
good.
Pretty good. That was on Facebook today. So she's chipping away, too, nationwide.
Yeah. The more exposure we have from any advocate is appreciative. I mean, it's going to take Carrie Kasem, Sam Sugar. It's going to take all of us on this radio show. It's going to take Guardianship Task Force. It's going to take a lot more even than that to get the word out.
A lot more.
Yeah, exactly. That's good news, too. Let's bring on a 508 number. You have a question or a comment.
Yeah. Hi, Louie. Thanks so much for this program. And this is Sharon from Massachusetts. I've communicated with you and before on the messaging and email. And, of course, I've been an avid follower of your guests and the whole situation, because as far as the horrors of guardianship itself, none of us, especially me, knew that it was an organized, orchestrated kind of thing when a close family member of mine had been taken 32 years ago. Actually, the ulterior motive was, to claim this elder's estate and make sure nothing went awry. But so I'm very familiar with the horrors of what happens when sentient, human beings are taken, and every single right, especially the right of association, is just removed. Mm-hmm. You and Doug and everyone, have said such key things. I love the fact that you're going to have Zena on, because she goes back at least 3 years with her voice being heard as an advocate,
right,
the UN. And it is true. All of these words, all of these protections and human rights have been well codified. Unfortunately, the United States is not a member of the International Criminal Court, so just a handful of countries are not advanced ones, including England. And this is where all the different aspects of human trafficking, we're kind of gagged, if I can use that word, by not being a member, because this is the court. For example, when all those bodies of babies and children were recently uncovered in Canada, and the crimes against, whether they were plain out murder or the pedophilia that was flourishing, a couple of hundred years ago against the native people, we're not participating with either briefs or input or even, acknowledgement on these crimes against humanity that have been going on since, since the fall. Anyway, the reason why I wanted to just reiterate, if you could, keep posting the links to the task force, because I don't know about other people's Facebooks, their links or whatever, but I'll see something and then it sort of vanishes. So if I'm not on and I'm not exactly frequent on it, I won't see it. It'll go in a day or two. So that'll be good to keep it alive, so the comment or even an update on what they're doing in Florida. Way out there is that, the two senators, both mine from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, and Casey in Pennsylvania, they, at least Senator Warren, was totally taken aback with Brittany's testimony. And see, my point is that a lot of these people, they're so bogged down with a zillion other things, that if it hasn't happened to them or an immediate contact, they have no idea what is going on in probate, with the scope of what's being taken away from people, with the depth of it, with, all the other horrors that we talk about. So they did do that five-page joint letter to Health and Human Services and to the U.S. Attorney General. and what they were asking for. I haven't seen a follow-up because I've been away and I've been, you know, unplugged. They demanded, they want the numbers of wards under guardianship and conservatorship, and that's the first time in, you know, that I'm aware of, that someone is looking for the numbers, and they're demanding it because all of the federal agencies, as we well know, they are channeling money to programs, and they can't deny it, Luann. They can no longer say, oh, well, we don't, you know, fluff it off because of the, you know what I'm saying? And it's follow the money. And anyway, so at the U.S., you know, .gov, the Senate site, should have some dedicated, you know, someone dedicated to at least discussing this. And in my opinion, which means not so much, but if we bombard them with the stories, because obviously they've got an ear on, you know, on the horrors. They're the first, as I can see, we're actually asking, even though they're different branches of government, because the enforcement's all coming out of the executive branch, and we know what happened with SB 178. You know, all of us were waiting to find the, you know, the justice, you know, the initiative. Okay, where do we go? Where do we go to, you know, address all this stuff, the taking of freedom, the taking of a voice, the taking of property, all of these violations of the specifically outlined rights.
So, yeah, we still don't know what happened with all that. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. We have no idea even what happened to that. One day I'll have Rick come back on and he can talk about that as well. But
I talked with him a month or two ago, and he said, well, they claim lack of funding. And I kind of say bullshit to all of that, and only because they are set up. They are the U.S. Attorney's Office is the one that, you know, and the FBI is motivated to investigate, and then it's prosecuted. It's through the U.S. Attorney's Office. They're set up for the whole nine yards. They've got the subpoena power, the summons.
They got all the power for everything. Is that we have to be the advocates. We have to be the advocates, Sharon, to bring that to them, you know. And we have to keep hammering these people, letting them know that we mean business and we don't want to take this stuff anymore. That's what our job is to do as advocates, is to keep working on this. And in fact, I also wanted to mention another thing before we go off the air tonight. Zena Crenshaw is coming on tomorrow, and next Wednesday, and she is going to be talking about human rights violations. So I think that will be a huge show.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
I've sat on the calendar. It was mentioned tonight, so I'm like, great. Because she is excellent. She's also very balanced, and we all have to do a balanced road here, because people are blindsided when you say, you know, if someone's targeted, if someone doesn't like someone and they turn and they pull a whatever based on hearsay evidence, you know, we know they can swipe a kid, they can swipe a whatever, but there's a great motivation with the elders because there are so many opportunities for having the middlemen taking billable hours. And all through, ultimately, it boils down to both the taxpayers' funds, whether it's the social work, it's through the Medicare, through the home, through the this, through the that, et cetera, whether it's that, as well as any property assets. And people can't wrap their head around the fact that things like trusts and everything else are useless, powers of attorney, everything else.
They aren't worth a shit. Let me say, they ain't worth a damn.
and that's where they get the name. It's no different, you know. And I compare it with the Epstein stuff. I compare it with the private schools and public schools and stuff, and where you've got the pedocriminals in there. They're gonna go where the kids are, just like the crooks in this racket are going where the elders are. They're not gonna, you know.
It's
open season, and they pull their victims from senior centers as well as trust seminars as well as whatever, and They've got all the data. All they got to do is scoop it, and everything is lost with
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are going to actually move on. Thanks, Sharon, for coming on and talking to us. Make sure you tune in next week, okay, and listen to Zena. We're going to let her speak quite a bit again next week. But thanks, Sharon, for coming on. We are going to actually get back to Doug again one more time. I have a few questions that I want to ask you, Doug. And first of all, if anybody comes to me and says, how do I get a banner, can I talk to you about it? And
send them my way.
What do they cost if anybody wants a banner for their cars? I mean, think of, you know how they used to go around and they used to pin yellow ribbons on trees for the Air Force guys and everybody knew what that meant? How about everybody got out there with banners and started saying, free so-and-so? Don't you think that word would get around that way?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we can build, what's the term for it, identity with these banners because they can be very similar, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's one of those guardianship banners. You know, that's what we need to have so that
yes.
identity with these banners. So, you know, how much they cost, they differ in price. I don't really remember right off. I want to say mine was 3x10 or 3x12, and it was probably maybe $75, something like that. It was, to me, that's cheap.
Oh, wow.
And the magnets
I
got at Harbor Freight or some other place, and they're maybe $2 or $3 for your magnets. And then, so, you know, for, you know, probably $75, you can end up having a banner that you can, again, channel people to go to the website, and then they can read the story. And this is real important. The Wall Street Journal, The Guardian out of England, the Channel 2 out of Atlanta, all of them said, can we take stuff off your website? We saw your website. Can we look at that, or ask you about this, about the website. So the website was an incredible tool for the media to be able to look at it as a resource. And that's why, you know, I told some other people, I said, man, everybody needs to have one of these websites and have their stories. It's you know, not everybody's an accountant, not everybody's an engineer, not everybody's a mechanic. So we have our strong suits and our skill sets. But I really still feel like if someone did a Google for guardianship, they would have nothing but these websites come up and all these nightmares. It's like, wow, this is not a good thing.
Talking about earlier, Doug, we were talking earlier about getting a YouTube channel up with all the guardianship stories up there. I mean, we could probably flood YouTube with that. I think that's
This stuff can dovetail into each other. And again, on this particular website, this YouTube channel, there can be links to NASCA, to AAAPG, to SEERjustice.org, and anyone else, you know, your state, your channel, the free interstate, all this stuff. We can have it so that there's links to it, and all this can be made. So, and in this thing, it's what do I do? And again, we have Guardianship for Dummies, you know, keeps growing. It keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's open source, so people can add things as they find out, and they can be put in to help us, you know, how to negotiate with attorneys and do everything else that you need to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other idea that I thought, you used the color yellow for your mother's, right?
Yep.
Yellow and black?
Yep.
Your mom?
It popped out so much, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a great color because it reminds me of that song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon, If You Still Love Me.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
And yeah, Tie a Yellow Ribbon.
It's important. I think it might be important, too, to relate, to pick one color, and I love that yellow, that we can relate to as the color for our victims. Like, you know, the Alzheimer's says the purple ribbon, the cancer has the pink. Well, maybe we can pick a color
like
the yellow, you know, to identify that every time you see a yellow ribbon or whatever color, you know, is decided, I think the yellow is great because of the meaning of the song and because we still love them and we want them. I think that would be a really good idea to start relating to the color of the ribbon as elder isolation, elder abuse.
Yeah.
I do have the URL humanownership.org and .com. I actually own those.
Yeah.
And again, in front of it, we could put john.humanownership.org or .com, and it could be his site. But I'm trying to set something up so it can be not as expensive as a full blown getting by in a specific, like Danny Jones, freedannyjones.com or something like that. You have to buy that, and not that that's expensive, but it is more money. And again, the idea is, how can we do this rapidly and quickly, same thing, but have it so that it's efficient, so that people see it and makes an impact. These are things that are running in my mind all the time. And again, the roulette wheel just has to go ahead and stop, and I need to get on that and do that, you know. But again, I'm optimistic. This thing with Hillary coming on board, you know, I've said this before, we're all soldiers, and one of us could fall or down, and we need somebody else to take the place. So we need to constantly be recruiting people to be advocates.
Yes.
And again, probably only victims can be these advocates that we are, but other people can still help. And we need as many people, like Hillary said, calling in, asking questions, or telling their stories a little bit, 3 minutes worth, to these the Florida Guardianship Improvement Task Force. You know, we got to show numbers, and it can't be 10 people.
Yeah.
It needs to be a bunch, like 50 or something.
Yeah,
right.
And you know, on their website, and on their website too, if you scroll down to the end, you can put the name, your name, and anything that anyone wants to say if they didn't get to go up there. They're able to put their comments, and they're able to upload at least 3 documents. So just so everybody knows.
I sent you, Luann.
Yeah.
Because what I would love to see is, you know how they have the Amber Alert? Have an Elder Alert. The Guardianship Kidnapping Alert.
Yeah,
you know,
Elder Alert.
That every time this happens to a victim, that we are all strong enough to get it out there. It's an alert. And send it to people. Send it to our community. Send it to the church group. Because, I think that's what we need to do.
Well, there is a term, you know, there is pedophiles that everybody hears that term, and you automatically grit your teeth and you just get mad. I think that's universal with most normal people. We need to have, again, that's actually supposed to be cinephile. I had a friend that was a Latin expert, and they said for elderly people to abuse them, they'd be called cinephile, which actually I got that website URL too. But, you know, we almost need to have something where if people pick on old people, then there needs to be a little, just like pedophiles, they're listed in neighborhoods and that type of stuff. And again, that's farther along, but the idea is who would want, you know, that could put a little bit of fear in people. If you're accused of an elder abuser, then your name gets published in this neighborhood. And man, I don't think people are going to like you very much. So,
right, especially if they know you're...
Cents.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. I agree. We are going to end the radio show here pretty quickly. Like I say, I want everybody to know that Zena Crenshaw will be coming on next week to talk about human rights violations, which is going to be very interesting. Can't wait to have her on. And Doug, you talk about Tallahassee's coming up on February 23rd again. Are you guys going to I'll work it out to where you all can go and do that, Hillary and everybody.
I'm going
to
Hillary.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to go for 2 days.
Marcy's planning on going. Rick, hopefully, Lynn Saylor. Hopefully, we'd love anyone we can get together, drive up together. But, the more, the merrier.
Okay,
and
Mike
will probably do a spot on it.
Is that this month, September 23rd?
It is.
September 23rd. That's only in a few more weeks.
Yeah. around the corner.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. You guys, and then tomorrow is the Guardianship Task Force in Florida. So make sure you post all that stuff on Facebook, and I'll try to get that out to me. See, call in as well. I will actually try to call in as well. I have appointments that whole day, but you know me, I run in between appointments on Zoom all the time. Sometimes it gets me to a doctor's office. Anyway, call me in a doctor's office. I've done that 3 times a week. It's like, okay, never mind, everybody. But whether you have to Zoom from there, just do it. I mean, this is how important it is. I want everybody to pray for my sister. She has not been very well. She has an infection in her bloodstream, my oldest sister, Carol. So I'm not sure what's going to go on with waiting for word on that. You know, and it's my oldest sister, Carol. Anybody else have anything else they want to share while we're on here, Doug? What do you have to say before we end the show?
Yeah, just, you know, God bless all you guys for fighting. And, you know, we just got to keep going. And, again, by our actions, we're leaders and other people can follow. And that's what our job is, to inspire other people to do what we're doing and to, to make this all better for the elderly, because we're going to be there. Everybody gets to be elderly if they get the chance to live that long. And this can happen to anybody, as we always say.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, and I just want to say last week our radio show ended early because we had some technical difficulties from Blog Talk Radio, and I'm hoping to get on the National Organization of Women another time. But I also want you to talk to them as well if you need to do that. That's a national organization for women and families against court travesties. They are actually doing a really good job on all that. So let's see. Yeah, we had to leave early last week. Our show was just cut off, and I'm like, oh, no, what happened? It's like, it was pretty bad. But tonight, obviously, we're back on from Blog Talk, so that's good. All of our thoughts and prayers are out to all the people in Mississippi and Louisiana. They had that huge hurricane out there, and a lot of places very devastated out there. So we're thinking of them people and everybody that's in guardianship and the abuses that are going on nationally. Justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. And Robin, what do you have to say besides that?
Well, just that I'm grateful to our guests, Doug Franks, and our co-hosts and our callers. Without you, none of this is possible, and we are doing good work here. We are making a difference. Every day I see in the news people being held accountable for the kind of crimes that we've been reporting on for the many years that we've been doing this, more and more. So I'm optimistic and hopeful that we have a momentum now that we are keeping, and I encourage everyone to continue to strive towards justice and to create courts that are truly transparent and accountable, and to hold responsible those who are committing crimes against humanity in these courtrooms. Take personal responsibility to say, I won't tolerate it. I will do everything I can to stop this. And we stand shoulder to shoulder with you, and we love you, and we appreciate you. And that's what I have to say.
There you go. Hillary, you have anything you want to say?
Wow, that's a tough fact to follow. I concur with everything that Doug, Ed Robin, and, of course, Luena said. And there's absolutely nothing that can explain what happens when you or a loved one is put into guardianship. The terrorism, the nightmare, and as Luann said, once you're put into that ETG, that emergency temporary guardianship, basically it's miraculous if you get out. So we are here to warn the public and to try and get the word out that guardianship is not a good thing. It is not a good thing. And we hear all the public comments at this task force, but we've never heard one person make a comment that guardianship was the best thing that happened to their mother or themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Because once the person is put into guardianship, we really have no access to them. So I thank you for Luann, always, you know, through thick and thin, you run this show with Robin, and it's so necessary, and I'm blessed to be surrounded by activists like the group that's on tonight. So thank you, and justice for all, and justice does require transparency, and we will make sure it happens.
There you go, and that'll be on the Guardianship Task Force tomorrow, so everybody tune in for that. Marcy, you have anything you want to say, add before
yeah.
we go off?
Thank you, all of the above with all of you. I'm grateful for God in opening, spreading your word, Luann and Robin, from starting this, and then Hillary, and nationwide, this is an American show, because your voice, our voices are now being heard. And whether other people, when we go for justice, suppresses our loved ones, we're onto it. We're chipping away mm-hmm. like a wall, and we are coming through. When you pray to God and you do right, because that's mm-hmm. what God wants us to do, be righteous and justice, I think that we are shining a light for God to help all of the victims, because no one deserves to cry because they can't see their children. That is cruel, and it hurts
right.
more than labor pain.
Exactly.
So let's keep on chipping away.
There you go. Like I say, everybody's been listening to Faces Radio with myself, Luann Fleming, Robin Austin, Hillary Hogue, Marcy Friedman. We are on here every Wednesday night, and a special thanks to our guest, Doug Franks. We want to thank you for coming on as
thank
well.
You
are a great advocate out there, and I remember the first time I saw you with the Free Ernestine banner on the car, and I thought, yes, I'm going to have him on my radio show one day, and that was like 4 years ago. So, you know, you've been out there a long time, and thank God you have a big voice like the rest of our advocates do. Anyway, we are going to be signing off tonight. Everybody have a good week. Stay healthy, and God bless everybody.
God bless. That's for tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Thanks, everyone.
Exactly. Okay.
Thank you, Hillary.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.